traveling around America in the mid and late 1970s, talking to a lot of the old timers that I heard about playing Irish music, was very interested in the history of Irish music in this country since the turn of the century. And I'd read books like the books that had been written by Captain Francis O'Neill back around the turn of the century, giving the story of the Irish musicians, the immigrants who came over from Ireland and played music in different cities in America. And I was interested in meeting the people who'd come over in the 20s and 30s and 40s and hearing their story as well. And what seemed to come together from all their own particular stories was a general story that this kind of music that you're hearing here tonight was kept alive in America by immigrant musicians for the most part, by people coming from Ireland. And very few people born in this country were playing this kind of music. There were exceptions, but I was meeting a lot of people, say like Joe Shannon, the great piper in Chicago, and Joe had 11 children, and none of them played Irish music, and they were never really encouraged to play Irish music. And I asked Joe why, and he thought, well, you know, I love it, and the people I play with love it, and we play in each other's homes, we hardly ever play out. But I don't really see that this would mean anything to my children. And it was a sort of an attitude that I heard in a lot of other cities as well. Tom Byrne in Cleveland, a great flute player from County Sligo, now in his 80s, he had, I think, 9 children, none of them played Irish music. And that story went on and on as I went to different cities in America. And I was wondering what would happen if immigration stopped altogether. At that time, it wasn't really clear that this music would continue to be such a vital part of American culture. And then in the 1940s, a group of people came over, immigrants from Ireland, and they had a kind of a different attitude to Ireland because they didn't have to leave under the same dire conditions of poverty as maybe people in the past had. And they knew they could go back and visit. And they encouraged their kids to maintain the cultural links with Ireland, and a whole new generation of Irish-American musicians born here, but mostly the sons and daughters of immigrants, started to play music in the 70s and 80s, and you would have heard some of them down here at Irish Week, people like Liz Carroll and, of course, Bill McComas, you're going to hear later, and Joni Madden, and a lot of other musicians, Seamus Egan and Eileen Ivers, whose parents had come from Ireland. And again, then the question was, when they started to, you know, move beyond their 20s, what was going to happen to the next generation? Well, there's no fear, whatever. And those of you who've been coming to Irish Week here over the years will have seen an extraordinary phenomenon of young musicians, and they seem to be getting younger all the time. And not all of their relations are from Ireland, and not all of them indeed even have Irish, direct Irish ancestry. And yet they're here playing magnificently as the years pass. So this particular year, we decided to end the first half of our first concert with a group of the Young Turks of Irish Music. And they'll be finishing the concert, and there'll be CDs for sale of all the artists in Irish Week outside in the lobby. You'll be able to get them. But we're going to finish the concert with these brilliant young musicians, Brendan Callaghan, who comes from the Washington, D.C. area on fiddle. Aaron Allwell, a very talented musical family altogether, comes from Virginia. Jim Egan, who plays the fiddle, and he comes from Baltimore, as does Elliot Grasso, one of the great young pipers in Irish music, and Matt Mulqueen, a great piano player from Baltimore. So please make them welcome.
Sorry about that.
One, two, good. That was, we did a few jigs there. The first one was called Hamilton's, and the second one was that was called The Wandering Minstrel. And I'd like to say right off, I'm dedicating our whole set tonight to my grandfather, who passed away a couple days ago. So this is for my papa. So I think Brendan and Aaron are going to do something now. So
We're going to play a set of reels now. And you know a couple of the names, but not all of them. So we won't tell you anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, the second tune was written by Liz Carroll. So you know it.
Now Elliot, Matt, and I are going to do some reels. The first two I got from Brendan Mulvihill. It's The Bag of Oysters and The Old Gray Gander. And the last tune we're going to do is called Dinky Dorians, and I got it out of a Brenda Stubbert tune book. So, let's see what happens.
Thank you.
I think we're going to finish here. Is that right, Brendan?
What?
We're finishing, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So, I hope so.
Okay, we're going to do some reels. Lady Anne Montgomery, Sporting Patty, and the Boys of Mallon. And we're going to have Jordan Dudney out to dance.
Everybody make sure that Jordan smiles while she's dancing, okay?
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have an intermission, 15 minutes or so. And as I mentioned earlier, the CDs are all out there, and we'll see you again just a little bit. Okay, we're just about ready to start the second half. And if you could all take your seats. We're going to start with one of my favorite musicians in America, and I met him first in the mid-1970s up in the New York area, where he was playing with a lot of the people that he played with over the years in New York, people like Jack and Charlie Cohn, whom we've seen down here at Augusta over the years. And Mike Rafferty came over from East County Galway in 1949, settled in the New York area, didn't play music for a while because he was involved in getting a job and just settling himself in America. And then he met up with some of the immigrant musicians in New York. And this wasn't a time that there were too many places to play out in public playing this kind of music. So musicians like Mike would have visited other musicians from Galway and other parts of Ireland in their houses in New York. And you wouldn't really know this music was going on there because it was all just in people's houses. And that's how it was kept alive there for many years. And then Mike started to play out in public in the 1970s when Irish music started to get a bit more popular. And he's one of the great sources of inspiration to all of us, and particularly to the young musicians in the northern New Jersey, New York area. And he's going to be appearing on stage tonight with one of his star pupils, Rogin McLaughlin Green, who's a wonderful tin whistle player down here teaching beginning whistle this week along with Mike. And they're going to be accompanied by two great accompanists in Irish music. One is Albert Alfonso, the Celtic-Cuban connection all the way from Dallas, Texas. And one of the great piano players in Irish music, making his first visit ever down here to Irish Week in Augusta, Brendan Dolan. And Brendan comes from a very musical family. His father, Felix Dolan, is one of the legendary accompanists in Irish music and has accompanied most of the great musicians over the years with a matchless style of exuberant piano playing, and Brendan carries on that family tradition. So please make them welcome Mike Rafferty, Rosine Green, Brendan Dolan, Albert Alfonso.